Amen. Amen. It's good to see everyone. Definitely. Definitely. Matthew. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 through 34. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 through 34. It's good to see everyone, too. I already said that, right? Good to see. If you're visiting with us, welcome. Amen. So as most of home folks know, we're going through the book of Matthew and all the way through, if the Lord's will, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, going through the book of Matthew. And I'm excited. I've actually enjoyed studying for it and putting the messages together, and I'm learning. You know, I've read Matthew like most of us many, many times, but just really taking the time to stop and really study. All right, Matthew, let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for the folks that are here. Lord, there's several folks out that are sick, and some folks are traveling or staying home. And Lord, we do stop for just a minute and pray for Gary. He's not feeling too well. He's probably at the quick care clinic right now as we speak. So we just lift him up, not feeling well. In Jesus' name, Father, we ask that you bless him, heal him, and whatever he needs. Lord, you meet his need right now while he's at the hospital. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to come and gather and listen to your word and worship you through song and music. And it's just, well, what a privilege. We don't ever want to take that for granted. So Lord, we just say thank you. Thank you for us living in America, being a free country. And Lord, as always, we pray for our military and our foreign missionaries, spreading the good news and protecting our country. And we lift them up now. And Lord, help me teach this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Matthew 6, chapter 25. Let's read. It says, therefore I say to you, now obviously this is Jesus talking, okay? So therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Verse 31, therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Amen? Amen. So I'm very excited. I've been praying about four of you guys, making sure you were here today. Whew, and you are. Amen. I feel like the Lord has something really good for some folks here this morning. For all of us, really. Today's message is called Worry Free. Everybody say Worry Free. Worry Free. So I'm very excited about this. And it's kind of a little bit longer than normally. I try to stick to 27 minutes. You know, just hang in there with me. Amen? I think it'll be a blessing to you. So worry free. So before We can become worry-free. God, you should see me. I started adjusting my glasses. Anybody catch that? We get in such habits, don't we, as human beings? Now, because I can see you a little bit, then I'm going to look down, and I'm so used to, like, I got to push my glasses up a little bit so I can see underneath them. You know, I actually went like this, and I was like, oh, and I pretended like I was scratching, see, but, oh, jeez, you know, sorry. Yeah, exactly, be worry-free. But I just got tired of wearing them, so I'm in this denial right now, so y'all pray for me. But I feel like I'm okay. I mean, Glenn looks a little fuzzy right now. Do what? Then he always looks fuzzy. Amen. Okay, so worry-free. So before we can really talk about worry, we got to kind of define worry, okay? What does worry really mean? You know, really, you look up in the English language, okay? Somebody said this years ago. He said, worry is interest paid on trouble before it's due. Now, really think about that, you know. The English word for worry, if you look it up and you look at the root word of worry, this is what it means. It means to choke or to strangle. That's what worry means. Worry chokes the happiness and joy out of our life. We have to be on guard against worry. Before we go on, let's talk about the differences of worry and concern. Okay, so what's the difference? You know, worry and concern. I'm concerned about this, but I'm a little worried. You know, what's the difference between worry and concern? Because see, if our children or our grandchildren were out in the street playing, and if we wasn't paying attention to them and trying to help them, you know, then we wouldn't be good parents or grandparents. So, you know, we need to be concerned about things that are really important to us. But listen closely. If you're taking notes, this is, you know, you ready? Here we go. Now listen to this. Concern focuses on the present. Worry focuses on the future. I know this is real simple, but just hang with me on this. Concern focuses on the present. Worry focuses on the future. Concern means we can do something about a situation because it's in the present. Everybody with me? Worry relates to the future, which is really out of our hands. Now, not worrying doesn't mean we don't plan for the future. You know, God plans for the future. In eternity past, God planned you. Isn't that cool? God also planned the birth, the death, and the resurrection of Christ. So planning is real important. God wants us to plan. That's why He gives us this life principle from Proverbs. Proverbs 21:5 says this, "The plans of the diligent lead to profit, as surely as haste leads to poverty." This means we should plan for the future, but not worry about it. Amen? All right, so let's look at a few ways to be worry-free. Okay, there's three harmful effects of worry. Now, we all know that worry and anxiety and all that causes all kinds of emotional problems. It causes all kinds of health problems, you know. But there's basically three effects of worry that I want to talk about this morning. All right, number one. Ooh, I did it again. Number one, worry causes loss of perspective. Worry causes loss of perspective. Okay? When we worry, we lose perspective of who we really are in Christ. And we also lose perspective of who God really is. Worry can get us all caught up in whatever we're focusing on, and it can actually paralyze us. Okay? Matthew 6:25a, just that A right there, Jesus says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. That phrase translated, do not worry, means don't be anxious. It means don't worry, literally, don't be anxious. Now, the Greek word is imperative mood. Now, dust off your English, right? Glasses. Okay, well, the imperative mood means what? It means strong. This is a command. This is a strong command. In other words, Jesus is saying, do not worry. Do not worry. Now, Jesus didn't say, or he didn't put it in a way of, you know, it'd be really good for you not to worry about that. Or, you know, you may benefit from not worrying about that. No, this was a command from God. Do not worry. Do not worry about that. It's a command from God. I've said that 2-3 times now, but I really want you and me, us, to get that. Do not worry. It's a command. Now, here's something that might step on your toes a little bit, but it's okay. We need that from time to time, don't we? Me too. So, therefore, when we worry, we are sinning because we are disobeying a command, a direct, solid, strong command from God. We're actually sinning when we start worrying about the future that we can't control. Also, worry is a sin because it means that we are not trusting God and that we are not trusting God's providence. Matthew 6:25, we're going to go through these scriptures. Matthew 6:25, it says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry. He didn't say, therefore, let me make a suggestion to you. He says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, or what you wear. Is not life more than food? And the body more than clothes? In other words, are you just a body? Are you just, you know, flesh and blood? Who said no? He got it right. Mateo, what was that? He got it right. No, we're not just body and flesh and bones and muscles and all that. We're spirit beings, right? I'm a spirit being. I have a soul and I live in this body. I happen to live in this earth suit for a while. You heard me say that before. It says, if we're just bodies, right? If we're just bodies, God just made these robotic type looking bodies, then the principal things in life would be just eat, drink, wear, and how to get shelter. But that's not really what life's really all about, is it? We all know that. If you're grown, you have children, grandchildren. You know, we all know it's more than that. It's a lot more than that. And we're a lot more than that. We're children of God. You're a child of God. And He is our Father. And He loves us. And He wants us to know that it's more. I know we all got to eat. We all got to have safe shelter. But it's more than that. And when we worry, worry causes us to lose perspective of who God really is. The Almighty God who created everything. The Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the great I Am. That's who He is. He has us in the palm of His hand. In one of David's prayers, he gives us the right perspective of God. Now listen to this. This is beautiful. First Chronicles 29:12. David says, wealth and honor come from you. Talked a little bit about money last week, right? Wealth and honor come from you. Listen to this. You are the ruler of all things. Well, David's very clear. He says, God, you are the ruler of all things. He goes on to say, in your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. That word power there means literally it means the ability to make things happen, to get something done. That's what it means in the Hebrew. So God has us in the palm of his hand. He has the strength and the power that we need to take care of our concerns for today, the things that come up to today. So worry causes loss of perspective. Number two, worry causes loss of self-worth. Everybody still with me? Number one, worry causes loss of perspective. And number two, worry causes loss of self-worth. Matthew 6:26 says, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you, listen to this, are you not much more valuable than they? Sure we are. One of the most fascinating birds is the tiny, beautiful hummingbird. Does anybody have a hummingbird feeder? Raise your hand. Quite a few. My mother loves them. She has one. And in fact, she gave Lynn one, and she put it up not long ago. I think they're all went home, but still. Is it still hanging around? Okay, cool. They're called hummingbirds, obviously, because their little wings make a humming sound while they fly, right? There are different kinds of hummingbirds, but my favorite, I wish Gary's here because when I was preparing all this, I was thinking about Gary, but the, different kinds of hummingbirds, but my favorite is called the bee hummingbird. It's called the bee hummingbird. And, it's actually the smallest bird in the world. They're about two inches long. And half of that is, tail wings and beak. And it weighs about what a dime weighs. Technically, it's 2 grams, but it weighs about as much as a dime. Isn't that pretty cool? How God just created all that? The bee hummingbird. Now check it out, right? The bee hummingbird. You military guys are like this. The bee hummingbird can hover, right? It can fly up. It can fly down. It can fly sideways, right? You like my special effects? Special effects. That's just cool to me. How that thing can just do that, you know, and God's creation and God's mighty creation. Now, listen to this. Excuse me, I like facts and stuff. It flaps its tiny wings 75 times a second. Now, why am I talking about this? Isn't God good? I mean, He is the master architect, right? He's the creator of all things. His little tiny wings go so fast that we really can't even see them. They're just kind of like this hovering there. But his wings are flapping 75 times a second. It's native to Cuba. It can travel hundreds of miles nonstop. It can fly across the Gulf of Mexico all the way to the Panama Canal zone without stopping. Here's another one for you. This is a free one. Ready? The tiny bee hummingbird can, in one day, one bee hummingbird can visit 1,500 flowers. He's a busy little fella, isn't he? That's amazing to me, man. So, isn't God good? He's great. He's almighty. Is this an accident? This just happened? Did these things evolve? We all know that's just not true. God is the creator of everything. Jesus said, look at the birds of the air. Pay attention to them. In other words, look at God's concern for them. And how he's concerned for them. And he's also concerned for us. He loves us. Are you more valuable than a hummingbird? Are you? Absolutely. To show how important you are to God, this is kind of funny, but he put this in here. Matthew 10:30, he says, and even the very hairs of your head are numbered. God knows how many hairs are on our heads at this very second. He has them numbered. Ladies, he knows the true color of your hair. I shouldn't have said that, but Lynn said, you're risking it now. But men, here's another one's funny. Men, God knows where every hair used to be on your head. Right? Why would God want to know such a trivial fact? And it changes all the time. Every time we take a shower, every time we brush our hair or comb it or whatever, that changes. Think about that. But God still knows. Amazing to me. Because we are so valuable to Him. You are valuable to God. Really, let that sink in. I'm talking to every one of you. You are valuable to God. He loves you. Now, He knows everything about us, yes, but worry, everybody say worry. Worry causes us to lose perspective and it causes us to lose the loss of self-worth. Here's number three. Worry causes loss of strength. Worry causes loss of strength. It can paralyze you. It can cripple you. Worry can. It can allow doubt to come into your heart. It can allow fear to come into your heart. And it can cripple you. It can paralyze you. Someone once said, worry doesn't rob tomorrow of its sorrows. It robs today of its strength. Now, to reveal the foolishness of worry, Jesus said this in Matthew 6:27. He said, can any one of you by worrying add a single hour to your life? No, we know that's not true. But Jesus felt like he needed to point that out. It's just silly. It's kind of what he's saying. Stop worrying. You're not going to fix anything. You're not going to solve any problem by worrying. Worry will not make our lives easier or happier. Stop it. Right? Stop it. Proverbs 12:25 says, anxiety weighs down the heart, but a kind word cheers it up. Remember, heart means what? It's the soul. That means the mind, will, and emotions. So look at this. Anxiety weighs down how we think. Anxiety weighs down what we do. Anxiety weighs down how we feel. It's really what that's thinking. If you really study that and get deeper into that. So why shouldn't we worry? We've talked about three things so far. It causes loss of perspective, loss of self-worth, and loss of strength. So now, to be worry-free, everybody ready? To be worry-free, according to Jesus, there are two basic actions that eliminate worry. And here's the two, and then we'll be finished. Number one, examine your priorities. We have to examine our priorities. Now, in this scripture right here, Jesus was addressing worry, and really worry about our clothing. Sitting on the hillside, Jesus said this in Matthew 6:28. He says, and why do you worry about your clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Okay? He's probably looking out at these lilies. Lilies are very abundant in Israel. And they say that they're very beautiful. Just everywhere, these beautiful lilies. Anybody ever been and seen the lilies? Sounds kind of cool, don't it? Go check that out. I had to go to the bathroom just earlier and ran into Andy. That's something really cool to say in the church. Anyway, we were coming out, and I was messing with my shirt, and I had to use the bathroom, you know, and I was messing with my shirt because I picked up the wrong little T-shirt, and it was starting to fall down, and I was all freaking out about it. And y'all are in here praising the Lord, and I'm worried about my T-shirt. Can I be that honest with you? And we started talking about the Marine Corps, and Indy is a Marine too, and the Marine Corps, you know, like, well, if your t-shirt was lagging or dragging or something like that, man, you'd, exactly right, you'd be in big trouble. So I guess it got brainwashed in us, we can't do it, you know, and we started talking about that, and then all of a sudden I was like, man, I'm such a hypocrite, I'm getting ready to preach on this. Not worry about my clothes, and here I am worried about my stupid t-shirt. I'm sorry, y'all. It's all good, right? I actually have a black one, and I picked up the blue one. Does that really matter at all? It doesn't matter, does it? I blame Lynn. All right, we're closing up here. Matthew 6, 29 through 30. Jesus said, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. Verse 30 says, if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow's thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? You see, this phrase thrown into the fire is really, it's really oven. It's translated as oven. And probably what's going on here is what they say. Theologians that study this a lot more than me, they say that, you know, once they cut the grass and the weeds and everything, the lilies kind of get cut up into it. You know, lilies get cut up also, and they throw it into the ovens to cook and sometimes to make things, you know, but mainly for cooking in the oven. So Jesus says not to worry about what you eat, about what you drink, or about what you wear. And Matthew 6, 31 and 32 goes on and says, do not worry. Again, so do not worry. It's a command saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? Now listen to this. This is kind of interesting. And then getting ready to close. He says, I said that three times already, right? He says, the Gentiles, or the unbelievers, let these things dominate their thoughts. Now, this is kind of strong right here, too, so you'll hang on. Matthew 6:32 says, for the pagans, which is the unbelievers, run after all these things, and your Heavenly Father knows what you need. He said he knows before you even ask him, he knows what you need. In other words, what the scripture is saying here is worrying is agonizing like an unbeliever. Someone has said that worrying is kind of like practicing atheism. You know, it's like being an atheist. Atheists don't believe in God. They don't have anyone or any hope about anyone helping them in the future, about how things are going to happen or turn out in the future. They have no hope, no nothing. So in the scripture, and really study, it's like we're like kind of like pretending to be or acting like an atheist, or, you know, yeah, we come to church and yeah, everything's great, but do we really believe that God's got the future worked out for us? Are we really trusting in Him? Do you have to say you're an atheist to be one? No, you just have to worry like one. Everybody catch that one? There's a left hook right there. Sorry. I've been guilty of it. I mean, he's been guilty of worrying about the future. You just kind of forget all that God's got it all worked out, you know? Yeah. Worry is kind of like a warning light on your dashboard of your car or truck. A warning light. Hey, bling, bling, bling. It's blinking, blinking, blinking. It's kind of, you know, when you start worrying, you need to remember that light bulb blinking on your dashboard, because it's warning you that, hey, maybe I got my priorities mixed up. Maybe a little something going on with my faith right now. Maybe I need to get back in the Word more. Maybe I need to pray more. Maybe I need to get back in the church more. Maybe I need to start getting closer to the Lord, right? And so if you're constantly worrying, and I'm not talking about some kind of anxiety disorder, okay? You know, I'm talking about just regular worry where you worry about stuff. You might want to let that be that little blinky light that's telling you, hey, I need to tighten up. You know, I need to tighten up. Second thing, this is it, really. The second thing, exist in the present. We This is to help combat worry. We need to exist in the present. Hey, this is something that I tell all my clients when I'm counseling them, especially when it comes to worry and anxiety. This is like one of the main things. It's actually very biblical. Hey, stay in the here and now. Stay in the here and now. Stay right here. Don't go back and don't go forward. We're talking about in our thoughts, right? In our thoughts, don't go back. Oh, I should have done this. I should have done that. I wish I had done. Wish I hadn't said that. No. Stop. Stay out of the future. What's going to happen? How am I going to deal with this? Stay is in the here and now. Live one day at a time, trusting in Jesus alone. Live one day at a time, trusting in Jesus alone. Jesus says not to be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. That's not easy sometimes, is it? It's not easy. I struggle with it. We all struggle with it, but we need to remind each other. And this morning, God's reminding us all, stay in the here and now. Live one day at a time, trusting only in Jesus. And he says that tomorrow will have enough worries of its own. Matthew 6:34. Therefore, do not worry. It's that same, command. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. That's pretty clear, isn't it, guys? And that's a command from Jesus. God wants us to enjoy, because every day has its own troubles. God just said that, right? It's not going to be all, pink cloud, happy rainbows. You have a flat tire, your air conditioner breaks, your dog dies, right? Goldfish drowns. I don't know. There's a lot of things that happen in our life. God wants us to enjoy today, not ruin it by worrying about tomorrow. We are to plan for the future, but live in the present. Everybody say present. Everybody live in the present. As someone has said, and you all have probably heard this before, today is a gift from God. That's why it's called the present. We can't enjoy today's present if we're worrying about tomorrow's problems. Living in the present means saying this one thing. And guys, I'll end it with this. This is one scripture. I encourage you guys to all try to pray or read or just verbalize it out loud to your spouse or someone. Speak it out loud so you can hear with your own ears. It's Psalm 118:24. Here it is. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I like the ESV version. It says, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, as I say all the time, your word is encouraging and uplifting, and it corrects us. It puts us on the right path, puts us in our place sometimes. Lord, we thank you for it. Lord, I pray for everyone here this morning. In Jesus' name, Father, if there's someone that's never accepted Christ as our personal Savior, are we going to sing a little song in a minute we call the Song of Invitation? As we're singing that song, if there's someone here that would like to give their life to Christ, I pray, Lord, that they will get up and they will come down here, and I'll be glad to pray with them, and we can settle that now. In Jesus' name, amen.